Greetings and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute, Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. On this podcast, we're going to discuss the collapse of one of the primary arguments used for evolution during the Kitzmiller versus Dover trial. A new paper in the journal Genome Biology and Evolution argues that the famous beta-globin pseudogene is functional. Why is this pseudogene famous? Well, it's been Exhibit A, literally, offered as evidence in a court case for critics of intelligent design who argue that our genome is full of useless, functionless junk and therefore can't be a product of design. Near the beginning of his testimony, on the very first day of the 2005 Kitzmiller versus Dover trial, Brown University biology professor Kenneth Miller testified to the court that the beta-globin pseudogene is, quote, broken, and it has a series of molecular errors that render the gene non-functional, unquote. He further told the court, quote, and the fact that all three of these species have matching mistakes leads us to just one conclusion, and that's the same conclusion that Charles Darwin predicted almost a century and a half ago, and that is that these three species share a common ancestor. Matching mistakes are evidence of common ancestry, unquote. In his 2008 book, Only a Theory, Dr. Miller was even more explicit in asserting that this pseudogene refutes intelligent design. He writes that, quote, a detailed analysis of the beta-globin pseudogene shows a series of mutations that have rendered it non-functional, unquote, and he goes on to say that in his view, this takes care of intelligent design. Here's what Dr. Miller writes. The gorilla and chimpanzee pseudogenes have exactly the same set of molecular errors. There's no escaping the implication of these matching mistakes, and there's no point in arguing that six identical mistakes could have turned up independently in three unrelated species. The only sensible interpretation is that the original errors developed at random in a single common ancestor of these three species. In a court of genetic copyright law, any motion that a designer could claim originality for the human genome would be tossed out in a flash. So that's what Dr. Miller says about the beta-globin pseudogene. But now, a new paper in Genome Biology and Evolution, titled Evolutionary Constraints in the Beta-Globin Cluster, the Signature of Purifying Selection at the Globin HBD Locus and its Role in Developmental Gene Regulation, argues that the beta-globin pseudogene is not broken, but in fact performs an important function in regulating gene expression. The abstract of the paper states in part, quote, we present evidence sustaining that strong functional constraints underlying the decreased contemporary diversity at these two regions were not driven by protein function, but instead are likely due to a regulatory role in ontogenic switches of gene expression, unquote. Allow me to help translate. Humans have six genes related to producing beta-globin, a protein that is one of the two types of globin molecules that combine to form hemoglobin. Of those six genes, five encode the beta-globin protein, but the sixth, the famous beta-globin pseudogene, has a premature stop codon that prevents it from producing a complete RNA transcript for beta-globin. Darwinian presuppositions have led many scientists, including Dr. Miller, to assume that this pseudogene was non-functional genetic junk. However, some researchers have been willing to think independently and dig a little deeper. The researchers in this study looked at copies of the beta-globin genes, including the pseudogene copy named HBBP1, from 1,092 humans and from 14 populations around the world. They also looked at chimpanzee copies of the same genes. When they compared all these copies of the genes from different populations and species, they found that the genes, including the HBBP1 pseudogene, had less variation, i.e. fewer differences, than would be expected if they were non-functional, and accordingly accumulating neutral mutations at a constant rate. This suggests that the beta-globin pseudogene is not non-functional and in fact has a function. Of course, we know that the beta-globin pseudogene doesn't create a complete RNA transcript for a beta-globin protein, but that doesn't mean that it cannot play roles in gene expression. And that's exactly what the investigators think this protein does. And thus they write, quote, the strong functional constraints underlying the decreased contemporary diversity at these two regions were not driven by protein function, but instead are likely due to a regulatory role in ontogenic switches of gene expression, unquote. Interestingly, they found that regions adjoining the genes exhibit high levels of variation, suggesting that the pseudogene is under purifying selection, i.e. it performs a function, and thus natural selection selects against mutations that would change the sequence of the pseudogene. As the paper states, quote, taken together, the results obtained for the beta globin cluster cannot be reconciled with other explanatory hypotheses rather than purifying selection. The low values of nucleotide diversity are confined to HBD and HBBP1 and do not extend into the flanking regions, which display contrastingly high levels of variation. The haplotype structure of HBD and HBBP1 are similar across worldwide populations, unquote. So what is the function? They write, quote, these recent findings suggest that HBD and HBBP1 might be involved in chromatin looping in the human beta globin cluster, a crucial mechanism for temporal coordination of gene expression, unquote. Specifically, they think that HBD and HBBP1 play a crucial role in regulating gene expression during development, stating, quote, we propose that the complex patterns of diversity observed in this genomic region arose from distinct functional constraints related with the intricate process of chromatin and protein interactions coordinating the differential expression of genes at the beta globin cluster during development, unquote. Of course, more work will have to be done to identify the details of exactly how this pseudogene works to regulate gene expression. But given that other studies have already found that chromatin looping is involved in regulating the expression of globin genes, the proposal in this paper appears to be sound. Indeed, another recent paper in the journal Genome Research found that the HBBP1 beta globin pseudogene is associated with DNase I hypersensitivity, which means it is transcribed and potentially functional. The bottom line is that whatever the exact mechanism turns out to be, it seems strongly supported now to say that this pseudogene has genuine function. But Ken Miller's argument for Darwinian evolution and against ID depends on the beta globin pseudogene being non-functional, implying as he does that the genetic differences between it and protein-coding beta globin genes are errors. In light of this new evidence for the functionality of the beta globin pseudogene, it seems that those genetic differences may not be errors after all. If so, then Miller's argument, his Exhibit A against intelligent design, collapses. I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2013. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.